welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Are you glad to be alive?
Yes!
I'm glad to be alive. It's a good time to be alive, isn't it? Yes. It's a good time to be part of this church, isn't it?
Yes.
If it's your first time here this morning, I'm scanning to see, you're especially welcome
yes.
today.
Yes.
And if it's your 53rd time, you're also very welcome today. Hallelujah. I don't know how many it is to be your maximum number, but never mind. Right, so God's been talking to us about the impossible.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's also been talking to us about the heart.
Yes.
And sometimes it seems like it's impossible for our heart to be changed, but that's another story. Hallelujah. Yeah, God is talking about releasing the impossible through us, about a people who are living for God and just going for it, really. And because of that, he's able to move.
Yes.
Amen. Nothing is impossible with God, we heard from the angel saying to Mary. The nothing meaning nothing. Yeah, three words. Those of you who weren't here, let's go. Just remind you of it because it's so important. That word nothing is three words in Greek. The main word means absolutely nothing. Not even just nothing. It means absolutely nothing. The second Greek word means an emphasis on the other one. So it's absolutely nothing at all is impossible with God. But there's a sneaky little word in there that doesn't get through in the English, and that's rhema or rhema, depending on your Greek accent. Which is the spoken or the now word of God. In other words, if you want to see this change, if you want to see God doing stuff, you've got to take hold of God's word and you've got to speak it out. Now, there are also at key times words that God gives that are like a now word to you, which you speak especially over what's happening because God is saying, I'm doing this at this time. Hallelujah. And the word that one of the words that he's given us is nothing is impossible. Okay? With God. So we better take notice of that one. What do you reckon?
Yes.
Now, that sort of came out of another impossible because we looked earlier at that without faith it is impossible to please God. Yeah. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. We're not staying there all morning, but we're going back there again because this is kind of inspirational, I think, for us at this time. The other key verse that God has given us as a rhema word that's not really linked in with what I'm saying this morning, of course, is that John 5:25 verse. Worth getting it memorized, and with the verse before, really, because that's a good one. But that verse 5 in John chapter 5, verse 25 says, and the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those that hear shall live. I mean, that's that key word of God saying, I'm going to speak through you, and through you, if you speak the word, people will hear the voice of the Son of God. Obviously, we speak it with all humility and with love and respect, not, you know, a sort of a sense of arrogance, listen to me and you're hearing Jesus. In fact, if we do that, they probably won't. But as we speak with people, God is saying, those that don't know the Lord, in other words, the dead in Christ, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live.
Yes, amen.
Amen?
Yes.
It's time to raise up.
Yes.
Anyway, back to Hebrews. Now remember, you've got this list of heroes in the faith, but remember, they're not faith stories. We're not going through all that again, but you've got all the different people here and what happened. They're not faith stories, they are prophecy of what God is going to do through anybody who stands and believes in God.
Yes.
Amen? Now it says right at the beginning here, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because this was a long time before the modern science. It says that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Well, we know it's made up of atoms and molecules and tiny, tiny particles that you can't see. And yet there it is, in the Word of God. Thousands of years, or a couple of thousand years before we actually know that to be true. As far as scientists are concerned, the only thing that's true is that you can prove in a scientific laboratory. They're not quite right, but never mind. We'll agree with them on that for the minute. But in fact, science also predicts, of course, that the world is thousands of years old, millions of years old, and you've got the whole theories on there, and you've got Darwin's theories of evolution. And whether you believe that or whether you believe what the Bible says, you've got to have faith. You can look at the evidence of what's around you, and that's what Darwin did on his voyage on the Beagle. And, you know, he looked at what was going on, and he took that as evidence, and he put it together, and he came up with the theory of evolution. It's not right for Christians to go around saying it's just a theory. It's not. It was well worked out. It was well put together. Neither is it stupid. Charles Darwin was a very intelligent man. But the wisdom of the world is nothing compared to the wisdom of God. Amen. But you do have to have faith to believe in Darwin's theories. There's great big holes in it. There's the links that there should be are not there, and scientists are frantically looking for them. But you see, so you have to have faith to believe that. To believe in the Big Bang theory, which is just one theory of the beginning of the world, you have to have faith.
Yes.
You can look at some of the evidence and you can put it together, and you put out your radio telescopes out into the sky looking for certain quark particles and dark matter and everything else, and to prove that it happens, and you might find it, you might not, you might find bits that sort of agree, but still, even amongst the scientific community, they don't all believe in the Big Bang, because you need a certain measure of faith to say, yeah, I'm going to believe that bit, and that bit, and therefore that means this. Science is a lot like that. You dismiss that bit, and you take that bit, and then you get your theory, and that's what you believe. Scientists have great faith. They don't really like it when you say that, though. Hallelujah. But it's interesting, I was reading a survey in The Guardian. Well, I wasn't actually reading The Guardian. Just get that in quick. Anybody who's reading The Guardian is now offended, but never mind. I was reading about a survey that was in The Guardian, put it that way. And it said that 50% on this survey that they'd done, 50% of Britons do not believe in the theory of evolution. Isn't that interesting? I think, you know, even in the common sense of mankind, there's something that says, I don't think that's all there is. I think there's something more. You know, I think when I look at creation and I see how complicated it is, I find difficulty thinking that it happened just by chance. It's like, you know, the classic example of you find a watch in the street and you think, oh, isn't that amazing? That just fell to bed, you know, this glorious pocket watch that just all fell together there in the middle of the street. Isn't that amazing? No, somebody obviously created it. It's complex. It's got parts. And it's the same with creation, which is far, 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 far more complex. 50% of Britons. That's very interesting considering the number. There was another, do you want a couple of other statistics? 25% believe that only 25% of people believe it's definitely true. So 50% believe it isn't, 25% don't know what they think, and 51% believe that the whole theory of evolution is not enough to explain everything and that there must be a God. And 33% believe that God created the world sometime in the last 10,000 years. And that's in The Guardian. Bastion of intellectual thought. Hallelujah. You see, God is constantly witnessing to people who are ready to listen. But it does take faith to accept it. But the thing is, you can look at the things you know and think, well, I see this happening, I see this happening, I see this happening, so therefore God's likely to be true on everything. You know, that's how really where I came in originally to faith. Hallelujah. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed. Why do you believe that, though? Well, it's that verse that we looked at before. And we're going to look at it very briefly here. 11, verse 6. Remember it? If you're on the Freedom in Christ course, I think you've memorized it. Now then, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently or earnestly seek him. Amen? The faith that the world was created comes from the fact that you believe God exists. If God exists, there's not really any problem believing he created the world. If God exists, there's not really any problem believing in miracles and everything else. Because if God exists, obviously it's going to happen. So the basic thing is believe that he exists. And remember what it's actually referring to there is that he is the I am. Yeah? I am the I am. There is no beginning. Well, I am the beginning and the end. But he's outside of time. But what I really want to go to in this verse, which we haven't particularly focused on, is not the belief that he exists bit, but this next bit, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Because I think we've lost something about this idea that God rewards, and if we take it out of the gospel, we actually severely weaken what's going on. And it comes out of a kind of a politically correct mindset. Not that everything politically correct is bad. A lot of it's good, actually. You know, politically correct thinking says we should treat one another as equals. Politically correct thinking is against racism and about providing for people who are disabled so they can have equal access. This is good. But when it goes into overboard, it gets a bit stupid. But the politically correct thinking also sort of comes out of those times when school sports days went out of fashions and nobody could win anything, you know? And football teams stopped playing football because it was not nice to the team that lost. It's that sort of, you know, be nice to everybody type feeling. It doesn't work very well. The world isn't like that. Let's look at creation again. We see that God, that the reward, the one who is rewarded is the animal who goes out and kills the other animal and eats it. You know, it's not the animal that's sitting there saying, "Oh, but you're a lovely furry tiger." Hallelujah. So, rewards. Now jump to Revelation. Ooh, scary. We're going to Revelation, right at the end of your Bible, chapter 22. Don't go there very often. You've got the last words that Jesus has put in the Bible. Even in red in my edition, because it's a red letter edition. I always think the red letter editions are a bit of an anomaly. You know what I mean, that word. Because all these are the words of Jesus. Yes. So you can get a little bit misled and think, oh, look, that's in red. That must be special. That's Jesus' word. They're all Jesus' words, okay? Anyway, chapter 22, verse 12. Behold, I'm coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Wow, that's Jesus. Don't you realize that's not very Christian? Don't we share out equally with everybody? You know, aren't we all equal in the eyes of God? Well, yes and no. We're going to explore that a little bit. But this is very, very clear. I'm coming with my reward, and I will reward you according to what you have done. So the obvious question is, what are you doing? What kind of a reward are you building up? Because it's there in the Word. Jesus speaks it again and again to encourage us. Yeah? It's not something bad, it's something good. And some of us are going to get a bigger reward than others. That's not very fair. It almost, you know, I don't know about you, but it almost sort of, oh, no, that can't be true. Because we've so been bamboozled into you can't have competitive sport type mindset. And actually, this is almost competitive. I don't think it particularly is, I'm going to get a bigger reward than Eileen. But there is a sense of, I want the biggest reward I can get because that's what God wants to give me. There's nothing more frustrating from the Lord. It's back to the whole toy shop thing, isn't it? If you were there for that Sunday. It's nothing more frustrating if the Lord ever does get frustrated. But there's nothing more frustrating in one sense of him wanting to reward us and we're too, whatever it is. Couldn't think of a suitably polite expression. But we're too lazy to get up off our feet and do something. And he's saying, you do something, I'll reward you according to what you've done. Now, of course, it doesn't mean self-effort, because you don't get rewarded for self-effort. Oh, I'm going to do this. You're rewarded for what God does through you. So it's still grace. And you said, there might be some of you out there thinking, oh, no, he's getting into, you know, preaching salvation by works. No, salvation is a gift, but you earn a reward. All right, salvation is a gift. You've got that. If you've come to the Lord and you've repented and you've given your life to him, you've got salvation. You're living out your salvation and you will get salvation. Totally free, totally by grace. You've got it. But your reward is something you earn. In fact, the word reward that's used in the Bible is also used for wages, believe it or not, or recompense, something you're paid for. Jesus is actually saying in this passage, I will pay you for what you've done. I mean, that just blows my mind because I just don't think like that, you know. And yet God is saying, this is how I think. That verse, God rewards those who diligently seek him. It literally means he will be the rewarder or the payback tour of. You can see why they didn't translate it as pray back to her, didn't they? Okay, so literally that's what it means. But yeah, this word reward, wages or hire. And notice that it says here what he has done. And the word there literally means work. You know, when Jesus talks about he comes to do the work of the Father, it's the same meaning. So we'll be rewarded, we'll be paid for the work that we do. Whoa. But it's not like an arduous, oh, I've got to go out and earn my salary. It's as we allow God to work through us, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, by grace we'll accomplish more, and then God will reward us for what he's just done through us. So it's a pretty good deal, actually. The only way you can spoil it is by ignoring what God's doing or trying to do it all yourself. Trying to earn a reward that way. So it's kind of, yes, yeah, salvation is a gift and reward is earned, but yet reward is earned, but it's by grace. Yes. By what you do in him. Yes. Hallelujah. You see, when the church begins to get revelation on this, we'll all be desperate to do stuff, won't we? What's the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, I need something. Because you're going to want this reward. Who wants to get to heaven and find for eternity you've got a Malteser? You know, you at least want a bag. Oh, that was the time I picked up rubbish. Hallelujah. I don't want to go to heaven and find out that I've spent so much time doing my own thing that I haven't actually earned anything forever. Yes. How depressing. I mean, I suppose it can't be depressing because it's heaven and everything else, but, you know, and you can't be jealous of all the ones that have got lots, but... Oh, I've got a Malteser. Well, it doesn't say Maltesers in the Bible, by the way. It's just made up by way of a funny example before I get letters. Hallelujah. Okay. Right, go to Matthew. Let's look a little bit more at the reward. Matthew chapter 6. Because I think we've got to grasp something here. I tell you what, if we really grasp this, there'll be a queue of people... At church at 9:30 to help carry equipment in, because they know that carrying equipment in is going to get them a reward, or maybe a queue carrying it out. You know, Kate and I won't be able to get there. There'll be people will be fighting us off. Out the way, you two. You've done that. You're not supposed to be doing this. Stop it. I want the reward. Now that's probably not quite the right attitude, but we're getting in the right way. Hallelujah. Right, where are we going to read from? Let's put in the warning bit first. Let's actually go right to the beginning of the chapter. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness. I like the way it's in quotes. Before men, so you'll be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Okay, so that's really important. We're not at the end of the meeting. Oh, I'll carry this big, heavy speaker. Look, big, you wouldn't be able to do that. Big, heavy speaker, everybody. You'll get a reward. Everybody will be looking at you going, oh, he's carrying the big, heavy speaker. That's your reward. Some will be thinking, you idiot, but that also will be your reward. So you can have a reward here and now in terms of the adulation of men, or you can have a reward from your Father in heaven because you do stuff that's not seen. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. I don't actually know that we've ever had that in like the main church offering. You know, as the basket's going round, as Peter gets it out, somebody whips a trumpet out of their pocket. Check. Can I have a gift aid envelope, please? How do you spell 1,000? Now, if you want to do that, that's fine. We don't mind. But if you want the reward in heaven, just do it quietly. Hallelujah. But it's. I love this idea that the biggest reward comes with the stuff done in secret. It says you'll be on the streets to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. In other words, you do stuff to be seen, you've got your reward. You've been seen. That's what celebrities have got. That's their earthly reward. They're being seen. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He's trying to put this picture of do it without making a show. Yeah? So that you're giving maybe in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. But notice it does say, will reward you. Will reward you. It is there. It's okay when you give to expect God to reward you. And remember, we're praying on earth as it is in heaven. So you're constantly taking hold of your reward and putting it down on earth as well. So you're living in the goodness of everything you have. Hallelujah. It says here, I tell you that those that pray with everybody watching, you know, they're just praying for show, it says they've got their reward. In other words, it's the same as before. But in verse 6, Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So that doesn't mean we don't ever have times when we all pray together. It's not talking about that. It's talking about when you're all praying together, you're not just there trying to be the loudest or the quietest or whatever. You're not the one. I mean, it's not just the one who prays the loudest. You might be the one that storms out the room. What does that do? Draws attention to you. Yeah? Hallelujah. Not saying that you would. Of course you wouldn't. Never, ever would you do that. Never, ever have I done that. Except, no, anyway. Hallelujah. It's the reward that you want, I presume, is the reward from the Father. Who wants rewards? I mean, you're pretty mad if you don't, aren't you? This is, God's talking about good stuff, and not just for now, but for eternity. You could have two more teasers for eternity. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to keep going on this theme. Let's hop over the page to 1 Corinthians, or pages. To chapter 3. Now, exploring this a little bit further. By the grace God has given me, this is verse 10 in chapter 3. By the grace God has given me, this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should now be careful how he builds. For no one could lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so somehow in your life, foundations have been laid. One thing I know is I didn't put them there because you haven't known me that long. Yeah? So somebody else has put foundations into your life. Now, working together, you're building upon those foundations. If they were particularly poor foundations, sometimes you have to get them all ripped out and start all over again, don't you? But we're trusting that that's not the case. Although as we all get to go through the Freedom in Christ course, one of the things that that does is it puts in really solid, good foundations so that as you build. And you know when a building is collapsing because the foundations are a bit dodgy, you don't actually necessarily have to knock the whole building down. You can go in and you can underpin. Yes. And you can sort of rebuild the foundations by propping the building up while you're doing it. And Freedom in Christ can be like that as well, because sometimes you can go through it as an experienced Christian and you'll find, oh my goodness, there's subsidence over here. But you get in, the word comes in and builds you back up, so actually the building is strong, and instead of cracks appearing when trouble comes or the wind blows, the building stands firm. And we're obviously, we're taking a group through Freedom in Christ at the moment. And when we finish that one, then those people will be free to take further people through. The idea is that we all get to go through it. It's like an MOT. And hopefully we're all pass. Hallelujah. So, by grace of God to give me a laid foundation, read all that. If any man builds on this foundation, now this is what you do in your life. You're building on it. Using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, this work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. In other words, what are you doing with what God has given you? How are you using the giftings? How are you using the anointing? How are you flowing in that in the Christ in you? How are you letting the Holy Spirit come through you? How are you putting it into practice? Are you putting into practice something that's just hay? It's just an occasional thing? Or are you building with jewels? Or are you building with gold? Or are you building something absolutely fantastic and costly? Is what you're doing in your life, is the work that God has given you, is it costing you? That's what it means by building with gold. It's more costly to build with gold. Or even despite everything you do, do you still fit in God around your life? Is Sunday morning better for you? Is it something that you come for you? Or do you come Sunday morning to give to the Lord? As you give to the Lord, you are going to receive. But if you're coming to give to Him, if you're coming to praise Him, if you're coming to hear His word so that it equips you, you're building with gold. You're building something that's not just going to be, as it says here, burnt away. And this is a bit scary, this next bit. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. This isn't some befuddled nursery school teacher that gives every child a star because they've turned up for school today. This is a God that will reward you for what you've done. And if what you've done is rubbish, it's just going to be burnt up. Now, we don't talk that much about God like this, but sometimes we need to. Because the whole church in this nation is growing up a bit and realizing it's not all just love, love, love. There is actually something behind the love, and that is a God of judgment. When was the last time you heard a message preached about judgment and hell? Jesus talked about it. He talked about it in the right context. He said, I've come with a kingdom for you. I've come with something good for you. I've come with something that you want to have. Yes. He didn't go around just telling people they were going to hell. But he did tell them what would happen if you didn't accept this kingdom. Hallelujah. God can be very scary. God is actually scary. When it says fear the Lord, it says it advisedly. You know, we can get too familiar and too matey with God. He's my best mate. I'll go out on the town with him. Have a couple of jars. We chat while I'm having a couple of jars. My prayer time consists of while I'm driving into town, I have a quick word with him. We have a little talk about what's going on. Yeah, that's all very good. There is that relationship with him as that, but that he is actually also holy. He is also actually the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Yes. He is actually Elohim, the Creator. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Which is why he is the one who exists, which is why he can do the impossible. Because if you've got a mate, he can't really do the impossible. You actually do want to know this God who is all powerful. Yeah? Are you with me on this today? You're quite quiet. Mind you, I did just mention hell and judgment, I suppose. Hallelujah. So if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. I don't really know what that means, but do you want to go for that option? Do you want to just get in by escaping through the flames? You arrive in heaven with singed hair. Eyebrows gone. And everything that you did in your life has just been burnt away because it was all your own stuff. You didn't actually do anything in the Holy Spirit. You didn't actually listen to God. You didn't start building with something that was going to cost you. It was all just straw and hay. It might have looked good, but it was just straw and hay. Now, that doesn't mean you've got to go on mission to Outer Mongolia. It doesn't mean that you've got to be in every single church meeting. It means listening to what God is doing and doing that. Because you can have a ministry working with the youth in the council. That's just as a ministry as what I'm doing today, standing here preaching to you. You can have a ministry working in a children's home. You can have a ministry being a doctor. You can have a ministry setting up a football club. You can have a ministry teaching music. But in all of that, it's recognizing, Holy Spirit, how are you leading me to do this? Because then you will be fruitful in it. And it's that fruit that will last and won't be burnt up. And you won't have singed eyebrows. Sometimes people get a little bit paranoid about this. They think, unless I do full-time ministry or something like that, I'm not ever going to make it. No, we've got to do what God has given us to do. Yes. We've got to live where God has told us to live. We've got to be part of the church that God has told us to be the part of. And we've got to get on with the job.
Amen?
Yes. Amen? Yes. Are you having a good time out there?
Yes.
Well, I am talking about this great reward.
Yes.
You know, every time you do something, there's reward. It's worth carrying the sound desk up the stairs, David. You are stacking up a heck of a reward because you do a lot in secret. I hope I'm not ruining it for you. But David's going, shut up, shut up, shut up. Hallelujah. But there are people, Keith. He's a man I have such admiration and respect for. You know, he's a man of the word. He knows the word. He could come up here and he could preach the word every Sunday. But what does he do? He helps carry in equipment. And he just serves. He's here to serve. He's doing what actually God has told him to do at this point.
Yes, amen.
Amen? And that's the key. It might be cleaning the loos. But it's just as rewarding in terms of what God's going to give you as standing at the front and leading worship. In fact, if you're not actually called to lead worship and you've sort of wingled your way in there because you've got a nice voice and you look nice, you're not getting anything. You'd be better off cleaning the loo. if that's what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. I don't know why. See, I don't do it very often. I'm not getting down on my knees, though, just now. But there's all these kind of things going on. The tea and the coffee outside and, you know, just being part of it. Not just having the... I've told you this about before, but not having the rota mindset. But when your name's on a rota to help out, it's fantastic reward. This is what God has given me to do. Ministry only means service, actually. We've sort of elevated it to something. Yes, we honour our leaders. We honour the anointed on their lives. But we don't... honour their ministry. We honour what God is doing.
Yes.
Amen. Anyway, moving on. Are you alright today?
Yes.
You've realised I'm not preaching works, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. One escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit is in you? What an important verse.
Yes.
This is why we do what we do. This is why we live the life we do, because God lives in us. You know that verse that we've got that says, and it was heard that God was in the house, or it was heard that Jesus was in the house. It means you. It's not just Lamplu House up there on the Wolds. Oh, there's a house out there somewhere. It kind of means that as well. But more importantly, it means you.
Yes.
You. Amen. It will be heard that Jesus is in you. And it will be heard that Jesus is in you. And in fact, it will be heard that Jesus is in you.
Yes. Yes.
That's the real message we want to get out. Who wants to? We want people to know that Jesus can live in them and their life can be transformed. Not that you can find him somewhere in Thwing.
Yeah.
They need to find him in Scarborough and Driffield and Beverly and Whitby and Bradford and wherever.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Right, you still... This is good. I'm not going to say you're with me yet again because I've said it too much now. Right, where am I? 1 Corinthians 3. Yes, I'm going to go somewhere else. Let's go to the very obvious... last bit of this sermon, if you like. Where do you go to look up what God is saying on reward? What parable did Jesus tell that says exactly like it is? There's two. One of the minors and one of the talents. Yeah? Well, we're going to the one in Matthew 25, so let's hop over there. You can hear this parable again and again and again, but what we just want to focus on today is, what is God saying to us as a church about reward? So, Jesus starts off the story. Again, what is he talking about when he says again? He's talking about what the kingdom of heaven is like. It will be like a man going on a journey. So the kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a journey. It takes time. You progress. You go from one thing to another. Amen? He's like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Well, who's the man in this particular case? It's obviously Jesus himself entrusting his property or his inheritance to us.
Yes.
Amen? His inheritance. Everything is ours.
Yes.
And he doesn't want it sitting around doing nothing. And that's the whole point of this parable. To one he gave 5 talents of money. Can I just say, you've got a lot more than 5 talents. You've got your whole inheritance in Christ.
Amen.
You've got everything that's written in this book.
Yes.
That's a lot more than 5 talents.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The way it manifests in different people might be, because sometimes people read this parable and people talk about this parable. Are you a 5-talent person? Are you a 2-talent person? Are you a poor, lowly 1-talent? You're all a 50 billion talent people because you've got the whole inheritance of Jesus Christ. So don't, as I read this parable, think, yes, I'm that little 1-talent person, but okay, I will use it. Okay, because none of you are 1-talent people. You're all 50 billion talent people because you have everything in Christ.
Amen.
Amen? We're called to different levels and called to do different works. That's where it does differ. And that's where you can be 5 and 2 and 1, really, in what you're actually be seen to be doing. All right? So perhaps you could say, because I'm up the front here jumping around and talking to you, you're looking at 5 talents. But I'm not better than you. I've got the same inheritance of you. I'm just putting to use what God has given me.
Amen?
Amen. I'm sort of jumping ahead of myself because I haven't even read the parable yet. But most of you will know this parable. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Ability. Not each got a different amount, or in the sense of you might only have a little bit of God and you've got a bigger bit of God and they've got a massive bit of God. We've all got God.
Yes.
We've all got the anointing.
Yes.
We can all do the impossible.
Yes.
Okay? But the way we will do it, that will differ according to the ability that we have. All right? Can you see a slight difference in mindset? Because too many people, I think of themselves as, I couldn't possibly be I'm not a five-talent person. I'm too humble. I might be two. But I'll say I'm one. Because then people won't expect too much of me. And then when I do something good, they'll all... Let's not go there. All right, then he went on the... So he gave all this out. Then he went on his journey. Jesus is in heaven. He's gone up. The man who received the five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. What did he do? Went at once. At once. He didn't sit around for 5 years wondering what he was going to do with this massive heavenly inheritance. He just got on with something straight away. So many people are sitting around waiting and God's just saying, go, 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 go. If you do something wrong, I'll tell you. But otherwise, just go. All right, don't wait for the massive call. Obviously, that's why he puts us in a body, to submit you from, stop you from doing weird and wacky and wonderful things. Because you can share it with your friends, you can share it with leadership, and they'll say, I don't really think that's of God. And when you get that, do you feel like, or do you feel like, oh, praise God? Because we should actually think, oh, praise God, I've been saved from getting myself into a right mess. But we tend to think like, he doesn't want me to do it. He doesn't realize I'm a five-talent person pretending to be a two-talent person. It's amazing, you know, we can hear God.
Yes.
Yes? And as your leaders, we hear God too. And we will let you go to outer Mongolia. If that's what the Lord says. But if he's not saying it, I'll be right mean. And say, I don't think that's of God. There are people sitting here this morning, more than one, just in case one of them's thinking, oh, he means me. There's more than one, okay, that I've said to, no, that's not God. And sometimes they've done it and sometimes they've not. And they've discovered it's not God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but that it's a big sort of safety net that God has put in place for us. And sometimes I might say to you, no, that's not of God, and I'll go away. And if I've got it wrong, I'll tell you what, God comes along and goes, bang, 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 and says some reason that I've said no, usually to do with me, rather than the fact it was of God. So even then he gets me. That's worse, because then I have to come and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You are a five-talent person. I thought you said he two. Oh dear. But the man who received the one talent, missed out the guy in the middle. So also the one with the two talents gained two more, because he did the same thing. But the man who had received one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Notice, he didn't go down South Bay and put it in a slot machine. Okay? He didn't decide to buy a year's subscription to the National Trust. He hid it and he kept it safe. And so to a lot of people, it would have looked eminently sensible. He didn't risk anything. He's got it safe. It wasn't spoilt. It was just kept safe. He didn't do something stupid in the modern economy and put it in a bank or anything. Actually, of course, in the other version of the miners, Jesus actually rebukes him and says you could have put it in a bank and earn interest. But obviously he wasn't referring to the 21st century at this particular moment. It's just when we do have to take scripture in its cultural context. I'm joking. All right, so anyway, he digs a little hole for it. After a long time, I'm coming soon, after a long time. Jesus thinks about time slightly differently to us. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with him. The man who had received five talents brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five. See, I have gained five more. The one who's got two brings it and says, see, I've got two more. This is a scriptural principle. If you take what God has given you, you give it away, you invest it, you use it, God will give you more. He will reward you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In fact, you get even better than that. I think one of the greatest rewards, and I want this one when I get there. I don't know about you. It says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. I want that spoke over me. I don't want to be one who's getting in with singed eyebrows and slightly burnt spots on my ears. Do you? I want to be one of the ones where he turns around and says, well done, good and faithful servant. And when you look at what God has given us in terms of staggering amount of inheritance, there's a lot to use. I don't think you're going to give it away in one lifetime. Amen? Hallelujah. Then the man with the two talents, that's the same bit. The man who had received one talent came and, Master, he said, I know you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. We won't go into that today. But basically, he's got that view of God that a lot of people have, that he's a hard taskmaster. You know, that you've got to serve God, you know, by faithfully staying in St. Agatha's doing the tea rota for 92 years, he might let you in. It's not like that. You say, but you're just talking about reward. Yes, but remember the reward is by grace, because it's what we do in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's what we do as our position in Christ that means we get a reward. We get a reward for what God does through us. Hallelujah. We get a reward for doing the impossible. Hallelujah. You've been faithful. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. He wasn't faithful. I know you're a hard man, so I was afraid. A lot of people get into a place where they're afraid of what God thinks of them. So they're afraid to step out. Chuck it out, will you? God loves you. He thinks the best of you. He's given you an enormous inheritance so that you cannot fail. The only way you can fail is by digging a big hole and putting your inheritance in that, thinking you're keeping it safe. See, here is what belongs to you. He didn't keep it, he gave it back. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. This is the one with singed ears. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money... Oh, it says it here as well, I forgot that. You should have put my money on deposit with the bankers. Just don't tell Fred. Sir Fred. So that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. That's so mean. No, it's not. God's just doing what he's told everybody he's going to do. It's not mean because it's laid out quite plainly. If you do nothing with what he's given you, you'll lose even that. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And this last sentence here, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a weird expression. I don't know what it means. I don't want to find out what it means. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful, not you wicked, lazy servant. If you get there and he says, wicked, lazy servant, you know you've got some gnashing to come. But you're not going to be there, because you're part of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Amen. You're a people that know you've got an inheritance and you're putting it into practice. You're a people that's taking your 50 billion talents or whatever it is and investing them and getting a good return. When you get into heaven, you're going to be saying to the master, look, this is what I've done. And you'll be able to say it and it won't be wrong. This is what you've done through me, if you're being extra spiritual, and as you're in heaven, perhaps you better be. Look, and he's going to look at you and say, wow. Or some such biblical expression. Here's some more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Chris, come and share in my happiness, he's going to say. Which is what he says here. Wouldn't that be fantastic in heaven? He says, come and share my happiness. It was so awesome what you allowed me to do through you there in Scarborough. Yes. Can you believe it happened, really? I still can't. No. He won't say that bit. He won't say that bit. But... Well done, good and faithful servant. And you know what? This parable then goes into the next bit about the sheep and the goats, and that's often missed out. There's not really a stop. He says there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered with him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on his left. He will put the people that took their inheritance and did something with it on this side, and the goats over this side are the people that didn't do anything. How can you say that, you say? Well, it's here. The king will say to those on his right, these are the blessed sheep, come, you are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. You did something. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. It doesn't actually say you went to all the prayer meetings, which is interesting. Hallelujah. You've got to do that as well, all right? Hallelujah. The righteous will answer, when did we do that, Lord? Because they weren't particularly aware they were doing it. They were just getting on with their life. They were thinking, oh, this is great. I've got God in me. I'll do this. Oh, I can help out here. I'll help with this group. I'll go and start that ministry. I'll do something.
Yes.
Just do something amazing.
Yes.
Amen. Oh. And when you do, you're going to have a good time. Because it's suddenly going to multiply. There's a 3-year word over this church. Year one was we would reap where we haven't sown. Year two was we'd do the same again, but there would also be sowing from those that have come in that second year. And the third year was the year when we would plant vineyards. That's next year. That's the next bit. We're in the middle one at the moment. There's going to come a time as God is speaking to you probably even now about what vineyards you're going to plant. What are you going to invest time into? Where are you going to see the fruit? Where are you going to have a massive crop of new wine? Yeah? Because that's why God gave us that word. It's building, it's leading up to that. We're not there yet. So it's probably you're not going to start a new ministry at the moment, but you're probably putting it into practice, researching it, finding out. And by ministry, I don't necessarily mean a ministry. It could be business. You know, it could be that you've got a new business idea that's going to happen. Yeah? Hallelujah. Right. Praise God. Are you feeling in need of a reward?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. What does he want next? That's the question. He wants us to take hold of our inheritance and use it. He wants us to grab every toy off the shelf in the toy shop and play with them and give them away and then go back and get some more and be so generous in our giving and our lifestyle that people just can't believe it. Remember, it's in giving that you'll receive. If you're affected by the credit crunch at the moment and you're feeling the pinch, what have you got to do? Give more. And you'll be rewarded. If you're feeling unwell, what do? You go and pray for the sick. You know, if you've not seen that healing come through, just go and pray for the sick. And your reward will come through. If you're feeling like nobody's your friend, what do? Go and make friends. And you'll be rewarded with friends. If you're feeling depressed, what do? Go and cheer yourself up and do something with somebody. And you'll receive your reward. It's always upon us. We can't point the finger and say they didn't do that or they weren't there for me. God isn't like that. He says it's back to you. And in that way we will care for one another. But we can't all care for everybody. But if we're not getting upset because somebody's not doing something, it's fine. I think I'm making sense here. Hallelujah. God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there are, you can go to prayer meetings. Seek the Lord that way too. But we're going to seek the Lord on the streets. We're going to seek the Lord in our neighbours' homes. This is such an awesome time as we step into this. Isn't that? God is the rewarder. The rewarder. The rewarder. The rewarder. We've just got to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm just asking the Lord whether he wants any form of ministry, you see. I'm kind of hanging on. Come on, Holy Spirit, please speak to me. I don't know. I haven't got anything from the Lord that there is. Maybe it's because the practical response to this message is to go and do something, not to have ministry. Hallelujah. So I think we'll finish. Praise God. Father, take this word and I pray it becomes real to us. You give us revelation from this word that we'll really know that sense of building up a reward, that it will be a motivator for each one of us, Lord. It will become part of our passion in following you, Father. And thank you, Lord, that you'll break through the idea that it's somehow selfish to want reward. It's not selfish, it's actually humility, because it's accepting what you say in your word. And Father, I break that off. I sense there's people here in this place at the moment who are feeling a little bit like it would be wrong to want a reward all the time. It's not wrong, that's actually pride, because the word of God says he wants to reward you. So the humble step is to repent of feeling like you're too... shouldn't have a reward, and start asking God to reward you. Hallelujah. Father, we break that off people's lives now. Father, that we would be free to accept that you are a God that rewards, that you are the rewarder, that you are the person, you are the Lord who pays wages, you are the Lord who recompenses. And I thank you, Father, that you are rewarding us for what you're doing through us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we just call that reward in. We call it in. We thank you for it, that reward in heaven. And Father, we pray, as it is in heaven, let it be on the earth, Father. Hallelujah. We're pulling down that reward here on the earth, Father, that we would live in the fullness of our inheritance, that we could fully invest it. We could put those talents to good use, Lord. Father, we want to be those people that when we get back to heaven, we're there saying, look, Lord, this is what happened. And you're going to turn around and say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.